Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday, the 14th of September, and I'm recording at 9:35 p.m., and that is still British summertime here in London. Okay, well, I'm back, of course, from a long holiday break, and while I miss swimming in the seas off the beautiful beaches of both Devon and Cornwall with extended family, I'm interested to take up the challenge once again here and discuss all of these markets with you. And I've been asking myself a question that I suspect all of you have been asking yourselves. Where are we actually in this corrective phase? And of course, what actually lies ahead? Well, the first thing that I'm sure that you're aware of, and that Owen and others would have pointed out, is that back on the 24th of August, and that was after I went away. I think my last audio was on the 19th of August. On the 24th of August, there was certainly a lot of panicky capitulation selling that actually took place, and no doubt some fairly mischievous, to put it mildly, activity by high-frequency trading types, which led to a climactic sell-off from which most markets have subsequently, virtually all markets have subsequently bounced. And some of them have only bounced a little bit. Others have regained 50% or more of the declines. And one or two have regained more than that. And those include some of the former leaders in technology, particularly in technology sectors. But as I get back and arrived back and reviewed markets and discussed them with Owen, of course, what we see are a number of short-term overbought conditions, and markets have lost a little bit of steam here overall. Also, we know that we're following that bounce. Also, we know that there are 6 weeks to go, just over 6 weeks to go before we reach the end of October. So we're still in the 6 months of the year that lead to more choppy activity and underperformance by stock markets more often than not. And my goodness, well, you've certainly seen plenty of that over the last few months. So what do we need to see here, and what's likely to take place? Well, first, I think that a low conviction view of mine is that there's a reasonable chance that a number of indices will hold above those October 24th lows. But will we see a retest as we have had following other climactic sell-offs, which you would see if you looked back over the indices in the last few years, particularly in, I think it was in 2011 or 2012. So my own view is that we'll see plenty more ranging. I think that there's a reasonable chance, as I've already said, that a number of the indices will hold above those August 24th lows, but we may well need to see those lows retested or possibly even exceeded to a small extent, and we will definitely need to see more support building, I believe, before we can consider ourselves to be fully out of this overall corrective phase. And in terms of concerns in the markets, well, obviously China has been the big story, big factor overall, and that has created a great deal of additional uncertainty. There was always plenty of uncertainty surrounding China, But the almost farcical mishandling of the market crisis in China has obviously not improved confidence one iota. Then we have the ongoing weakness in commodity markets. Commodity indices have steadied somewhat, but it's hardly a significant rally. And that has put additional pressure on virtually all of the commodity exporting countries. And so there are really concerns in terms of their borrowing requirements, in terms of the weakness of their currencies, also in terms of inflation problems that they may be in the process of developing. So there's a lot out there to keep people a little bit edgy here overall. I hope you feel that much of what's happened was at least partially foreseen by comments that this service has been providing over the last few months as we entered this more tricky phase overall, and the high probability of Wall Street seeing a 10% plus correction, which it has certainly done. And of course, many other markets have seen far, far bigger corrections, and a number of certainly cyclical, at least cyclical bear markets. Well, having said that, I think we'll see a little more choppy activity, but hopefully not too much in the way of big downdrafts to the downside. My own feeling is that where you have cash to invest and where you have stocks that you're interested in or funds that you're interested in, which are competitively valued, certainly more competitively valued than they were earlier in this year, that overall this is a far better time to be considering some judicious incremental buying than to be actually selling out of positions. And when we get volatile market conditions like this, well, everybody loses some money, at least temporarily. But the biggest risks are always in the leveraged positions, and we've certainly seen that over the last few months. But if you're an investor and holding on to equities or interested in equities that you will be holding on a unleveraged basis, again, I'll emphasize the point. I think this is not at all a bad time to be looking at opportunities where you see valuations lower, and where you and that includes higher yields in many instances. Okay, I'll be obviously be talking about this much more over the next few weeks, as also will Owen from time to time. Now, where are we today? First, the Japanese stock market was weaker. The Nikkei 225 down 1.63%, and the second section, the TSE 2 index, is also performing. We've seen some loss of downward momentum, but nothing to convince me that this correction is has completed itself. China, although I just say that about Japan, it's a market that I do like because of the quantitative easing and that's taking place there. And also, I think this is no more than a significant correction within what is an ongoing longer-term bull market overall. So Japan is a better buy here today, as is the case with many stock markets, than earlier in the year, and even than 3 weeks ago, just over 3 weeks ago, when I was leaving for my holiday. China remains a concern, quite obviously. The Shanghai Composite Index today was down 2.67%, a glimmer of hope, I think we see from the Hang Seng Index, that's Hong Kong, and also out of Hong Kong, the H China H shares, the HSCEI Index. Both of those were a little firmer here today against that decline that I just mentioned in the Shanghai Composite Index. The Hong Kong indices were hit very hard because of weakness in the A shares and the fact that people were not able to short the A shares, or they were very often they were not able to actually close positions in that market. That's the more significant factor, and so the additional selling moved into the Hang Seng and the HSCEI indices. They're cheap. Even if you don't believe the growth figures that China quotes, and I don't believe those growth figures, but certainly the indices are cheap, and the yields are higher. They look very overextended here, technically overall. Oh, the let's see, just moving through just some of the highlights here today. India had a better day on somewhat lower inflation and the possibility for an interest rate cut, but India gained just over, well, about 1% on average across the indices. Those are the main developments taking place within the Asia Pacific region. In Europe, we had some early strength give way to losses over the course of the trading day. The tiny exception was a very, very small gain on the German DAX index, but again, it closed well off its highs of the day. And among some of the bigger declines, looks like Italy was, I believe, the biggest, down nearly 1% in here today. No, it looks like Sweden down 1.39%. Swiss market also down nearly 1 percentage point. So soft tone here in Europe today. Wall Street, again, which had been a little bit well, steady prior to the opening, but gave up those small gains. It reduced losses during the move to the close, and the Dow was down just over a third of a percentage point. The S&P down just a fraction more. NASDAQ, again, had the smallest decline, just under a third of a percentage point here overall. Brazil had a good rally, but that's in Brazilian real terms, up 1.9% here today. The currency has fallen very, very sharply. Owens commented on that in here today, and well worth seeing his summary. But Brazil is one of the countries that's obviously been most severely affected by the weakness of commodity markets, and then there are all the usual governance problems that we've been seeing for a number of years in Brazil. Okay, looking elsewhere, I noticed that my habit of quoting the US 10-year, it's today it's at 2.177%. And that's a little higher than when I last reported on this. So the bonds haven't done a whole lot while I've been away. I think it was at 2.12 back on the 19th of August when I last commented on it. VIX, though, has done plenty, and that had surged, as you know, up briefly over 50 at one stage, although it didn't, it was a now you see it and now you don't during that 24th of August climactic activity. But today, a little bit firmer at 24.19, so that shows that there's still a fair amount of nervousness as far as these markets are concerned. And looking around the commodity markets overall, oil weaker in here today. The WTI Brent is at 44.15, and the Brent is at down $1.60 at 46.54. But I'm sure you can visualize that those oil charts. If you're at all interested in the sector, we had the short covering sharp rally that occurred from a deeply oversold position right at the end of August, and the market has subsequently been coming down more slowly during this sell-off, which suggests more likely than not that we don't have too much additional downside risk. I'm reluctant to believe the Goldman Sachs, well, I don't believe the Goldman Sachs outside forecast of $20 for crude, but it could easily come back down a little lower, test its previous lows. And the more important point is that I don't see why we should get a significant rally here anytime soon, because production is still really very high. Now, the main variable in commodity markets, as I've often mentioned, it's never the demand factor. That doesn't change all that significantly, and this is certainly true also in the case of global demand for oil. It slipped a little bit, but the big variable is always the production side, and oil production is very, very high. And while that's hurting the cost, the prices for crude oil and many other commodities are hurting a number of producers. We haven't had anything like the cutbacks that may eventually occur to push prices back significantly higher. That situation exists for two reasons. One, when China seemed to be consuming steadily more of all the world's commodities, production was greatly increased. And then also we had the big technology breakthroughs, which have made commodity production much more efficient, particularly in terms of the industrial commodities. So that's led to considerable overproduction, and this situation will gradually even out. In other words, we'll get more cutbacks in terms of marginal production, but it doesn't occur quickly here overall. Net result is that we have very low commodity prices generally, and I think that as supply is reduced, we will also see some of the classic consumers, led by China, the biggest consumers, and gradually stockpiling commodities at these extremely, extremely low prices. And agricultural commodities, always subject to variable weather conditions, and some of the U.S. crop reports have not been quite so favorable as they were earlier in the year, and that's led to a somewhat firmer tone here overall. And I think that's a wrap here today. Well, it's good to be back, and all the best to all of you.